You're listening to the Strongpreneur Podcast, where we're waging war on mediocrity. Live your strong life and build your strong business with me, Tom Reber. Mediocrity dies today.
Hey, thank you for tuning into the Strongpreneur Podcast. My name is Tom Reber, and today I'm excited to have my guest Craig McBreen on with us. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. You're on Seattle, right?
I am, yeah. And it's actually sunny here, if you can believe that.
Is it? And we're in January, in case anyone's listening, like, in another year. yeah, it's middle of January or so. I'm outside of Chicago. Craig's in Seattle. And it's actually sunny here today, too. It's around 30 degrees. Or actually, it's up over freezing, so that means we could wear shorts here and get outside and play. But so, Craig, I want to introduce you to our guests. Or to our listeners here today, and give them a little background on you. And so I'm gonna do that here real quick. Craig McBreen helps individuals, companies, and organizations reinvent themselves and spark change by leveraging the amazing power of the online space. His goal is to teach others how to embrace change, find their core, and tell their story. Why? The potency of your brand comes from a mix of content, image, and personality. It should be meaningful, memorable, and enduring. It should also contain every ounce of your energy, because a passionate brand is a winning brand. I love that line, man. That strange mix of conquering fear and branding done right is how you find your voice and why the Art of Breaking Out exists. You can find Craig at theartofbreakingout.com or at McBreenMedia.com. All that'll be in the show notes later. So, Craig, I'm so glad you're with us today, and it's that every ounce of energy thing is part of the reason why I asked you to be on here today. So thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the conversation, sir.
So I wanted to share a little bit why I invited you on. I was on Google Plus one day, working really hard scrolling through the feed. And I ran across a blog that you posted about how comfort is our enemy, mm-hmm. and it was on your blog, The Art of Breaking Out. And I clicked the link and I started reading it, and it really resonated with me, because that's so much of what I'm about and what I'm trying to do. And I just felt like it really spoke to me, and I was totally drinking your Kool-Aid after I read it. And I went to your site, read a bit more of your story, how you end up making some pretty big changes in your life, and really had some breakthroughs and some things. You really took some big risks. So I thought, let's just get the cool kids together and talk about life and business and stuff like that. So that's why I invited you here. I'm just looking to get to know you and hear your story, because I really, truly believe that you've taken some steps that will really lead the way for our listeners.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. It's just like, I like the fact that you said cool kids, you know?
Now that's right. We are.
I've always felt, a little bit outside of the cool kids circle. So it's good to know.
Well, I remember on your site, The Art of Breaking Out, mm-hmm. and a little bit, I believe you have an ebook called the same name. I recall reading something about how you're a 40-something late bloomer. You described yourself as a misfit, an introvert, and a dude who is sidelined by fear.
And absolutely. Most of my life, that was me.
Really? Tell me about that.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I did not really even start. The reason I call this site The Art of Breaking Out is because, I am an extreme late bloomer. I mean, I didn't even start until my early 40s. That's when I actually realized, maybe if I spoke up, maybe if I did a few things differently, maybe if I stopped worrying about what I thought other people thought of me, I might enjoy my life a little bit more, because I was always one of those people that was, reclusive, very introverted. I kind of grew up that way, and it followed me well into adulthood. And I'm telling you, man, it was just, I reached a point where it was just ruining my life. It was affecting me in so many different ways. Stress, it was just wearing me down. I just couldn't interact with people. I actually had a couple of meetings where I just, felt like walking out, because I could not stand being there. I just felt this insane energy, like everybody was looking at me. So I think a lot of that's rooted in my youth. And I started on a mission to change my life, and it's been a slow process. And now, you know, things have kind of come to a head. I'm just really at the point now where I've kind of finally got it together. Isn't that crazy? After all these years,
you're hitting your stride.
I'm hitting my stride really late, dude. And it's like, I want to help other people because I see so many people out there, and I talk to so many people out there since I've been online, you know, just from emails and whatever. People of a certain age, you know, it doesn't have to be 45 or 50, you know, I'm thinking people maybe 30, 35 and over, that mm-hmm. they might think, you know, hey, it's too late. It's too late to do something new. It's too late to do something different. No, it is not too late. It's never too late. And that's the reason I started this site. I really want to help people realize that, that the potential that they have inside. And that's why I put it, it's kind of a strange mix of conquering fear and branding. Branding is the side, the you know, what I know, what I've done for years. Conquering fear is something that I've learned over time how to deal with, and I want to help others do the same.
That's good stuff, you know. And when I heard that story before, especially the part where you were hitting your early 40s and you were just kind of finding your way with this stuff, it resonated with me because you and I think are on a very similar path. I'm 45 right now. My early 40s, I owned a company, had a great business partner, had a lot of good things going for me, was successful, and, you know, great wife, great kids, you know, you name it. You know, things were good. And I remember being at a party one night, and there were four other guys standing around me, and I happened to ask the question. I said, "Who loves what they do?" And not one guy said that they loved what they did. And for me, it was like the seed planting for my own journey, just going, you know what, I don't want to live my life and not be fired up about who I am, mm-hmm. and who I'm becoming. And within about a year of that time, I actually sold my half of the company to my business partner, took some pretty crazy steps in life and started a new business. I didn't know what the new business was going to be. I just knew it was going to have a certain mindset behind it. And that was scary with a wife and three kids and a lot of obligations and things like that. But I just knew I was tired of not being who I really knew that deep down that I wanted to be. Tell me about some of the changes that you made once you kind of opened your eyes to stuff like this.
Well, what we did is about just under a year ago, my wife and I kind of sat down and we talked all of this through. Like the first stage is, okay, you know, the breaking out thing. I got to a certain point where I made changes in my life, but now with business, with blogging, with everything else, okay, what am I going to do with this? And we started talking. And, you know, I mentioned the site that I wanted to build, the movement that I wanted to build. And, well, we decided we need to make some changes in our own lives to actually see this through. And one of the most drastic things we decided to do, and I am absolutely shocked she agreed to do this, was to sell our house and move to an apartment. And we did this, and it's funny because, you know, we actually started telling people, like, we were at our son's soccer games, and we were telling a few people around our age that we're doing this, and the first thing is, you know, they looked at us and they were like, why? You know, Are you crazy? I mean, what is the reason? Is there something wrong? Are you getting a divorce? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you hiding something? And we're like, no, we want to change our lives. We ultimately would like to travel, want to create a location independent business. So I'm not, you know, cemented to one spot, and I don't want to be held down by the great ball and chain. And, mm-hmm. and at that point in time, we thought getting rid of the house was a great first step. And I'm telling you, man, that was it was really weird, because it was like we decided to do it, and then we followed through, and when we first stepped into the apartment, it was like this elation, and then, like, you know, a day, a week, week or two later, it was,
you're
like
bumping at each other in the kitchen, and, you know,
yeah, complete misery, like, we did something terribly wrong, you know, like, what did we do? And it was like, we went through this phase of kind of buyer's remorse, and then we came back to elation again. We started realizing, oh, this is why we're doing this? And the other thing is, I sideline a ton of stuff to you know, kind of reinvent my brand. To I'm actually building my other business up too, and I've put a tremendous amount of time and effort into that. So there hasn't been a ton of billable hours in that period of time because I was spending so much time. And that's one of the reasons we moved to an apartment, because we knew we'd have to make some sacrifices to do that. And that was huge. And, you know, going from a 3,500 square foot house with a view to a 1,000 square foot apartment is going to change. And my youngest son is with us. He's 15.
Okay.
And I, you know, we really talked about, do we need to do that? Are we going to do this? Because we were worried about how it was going to affect him, and he was fine with it. In fact, I think he has changed his personality because of it. He's a little less stressed out because he sees mom and dad a little less stressed out.
Sure. Did he know why you were doing it? Like, did he really understand, like, this is a big step, it was a big deal?
We talked to him about it. And it was funny because we talked about, you know, all the places that we wanted to travel, all the things that we wanted to experience. And we're thinking, like, when we first did this, maybe a 2 to 5 year time frame, realistically, to do it right, to spend time on building this up and then making those other changes beyond moving to an apartment. And, you know, we talked about traveling, and we mentioned Spain, and he's like, can I go with you? So, you know, he was on board with that. And we talk about that now, and he's still on board. At 15, it's pretty unusual, because usually at 15, it's like, they don't want anything to do with you. But, you know, he's you know, the opposite of that, which is great. My oldest son is gone. He is on his own right now. He's just turned 21, so he thinks it's great too, actually. We talked to him.
Whose apartment's bigger, yours or your oldest son's?
Well, he is actually living with his girlfriend now, so
all right.
but ours is actually a little bigger, so there you go. But you know, it's fine. It's fine. It works great.
What do they say? You can only be in one room at a time, right? So it's
there. You go.
You don't need that many of them.
Yeah.
You know what's cool about that, Craig, is that you and your wife really motored against what everyone said made a strong life or a successful life. You know, mm-hmm. It's about the big house. It's about a certain career, a certain car, a neighborhood you live in. There's so many things that we base our success on. And what hit me the most when I heard your story was that you chose to define what success was going to look like to you guys. And then you actually took a step. You didn't just toy around with it. You went big and you got radical about some things. And, How was that that period where you knew where you were doing all this, you were investing all this time into the new brand and the move and all this, and you're going into this period where you know you're not going to have a lot of financial billable hours coming in? How'd you get through that time? Because I know money's also a big part of living. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, part of that, I mean, that's part of the reason for selling the house. That's one big component of it. The fact that we need to have some cash on hand during this process. And that was one part of it. The other thing is continually working towards these goals and continually talking about why we're doing this step by step. I'm honestly still in the process, and I see it, taking another, 1 to 2 years to see it fully through. I mean, it's a growing, if you're creating an online business, it's like a living, breathing thing. It's constantly changing. And like you said at the very beginning, you were kind of jumping in without knowing exactly what you were getting into. That's, to be 100% honest, that's what I'm doing. That's what I've been doing. And I'm also, at the same time, I'm also a very cautious person. I'm not like somebody that just drops everything and takes this huge risk. I mean, it might not sound like it based on what we just discussed, but part of this is my current business is not going away. In fact, I'm revamping that, and that's a part of it as well, because I want my current business, which is design and branding, it's changing, and it is actually going to somehow merge with the Art of Breaking Out concept, and that's mm-hmm. That's another huge part of it. So it's talking this through and planning it out. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I am cautious as could be, and I would not do anything if I didn't think it was going to work. And I like to map it out, and I like to think about strategies and how all this is going to eventually come together. That you know, that's a huge part of it. And I try to talk to several people my age about this, and they still look at me like, "You are crazy, sir." You know, it's like,
right.
It's really funny. And I talk to people online that are maybe 15 to 20 years younger than me, and their mindset is completely different, you know? So in a way I relate to them more, and I would like to find more people my age, your age, that are on board with us.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh no, that's okay. Go ahead.
So, you know, that whole sense of adventure is so easy to lose over time. You know, the more responsibilities you have and the older you get, you make all these stupid excuses for why you can't do things anymore. And the other night, actually it was a few weeks ago now, I was telling another guest a few days ago this, I was watching a show, I think on the History Channel, called Vikings. And it was on, and they were talking about, instead of raiding to the east, from Scandinavia going east, they said, let's get in our boats and go west and see what happens. And this one guy's going around the room taking a vote on who's going to go with, and he turns to this one friend of his and he says, brother, are you coming with us? And they didn't know what was out there. And this guy looks at him and he goes, of course, I need stories to tell my kids. And I just thought it was the coolest line. And it connected with me that, you know, just because we're getting older and we have responsibilities doesn't mean that we can't throw stuff against the wall, take some risks, lay it all on the line and see what happens from time to time. And the fact that you're wired to be somebody who's calculating and you plan things out, you have a strategy, you take that where you're well prepared and you take the risk, there's a guarantee practically that you're going to win in this thing, man.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about story too, because as soon as you said that, I'm just like, yes, because, you know, I was thinking, I wrote this post on my other blog, craigmcbreen.com, a couple of months ago. And it was just based on this, I don't know, maybe some people in the audience know, I don't know if you're aware, there's a woman, Bronnie Ware, who wrote something called Five Regrets of the Dying, where she basically questioned patients that were dying, they had terminal illnesses. And she just asked them questions, and these themes popped up repeatedly. It was like, I wish I had the courage to live, you know, a life that was true to myself, what I wanted to do. I wish I didn't waste my time working so hard on something that I didn't love. I had no, I'm not thinking of passion, but there was like living a life of discontentment, not being content,
right?
Not having courage, all of that. I mean, I don't know the exact, you know, what she listed out there and what she found that all these people had in common. But man, I remember reading that before too, I don't know, 2-3 years ago whenever it was published. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh my God, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this is because, well, what if I die and there's somebody speaking at my funeral? What are they going to say? You know?
He had really good lawn cutting skills, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Really good, you know?
He was great at edging.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant at the mower, the science of the lawnmower.
Speaking of lawnmowers and edging, no matter where we live, I always live next door to a guy who's like an amazing lawn care guy. So I always look like I have the worst house or worst yard in the neighborhood because I always...
They make you feel bad, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Make you feel guilty. Like, what are you doing? So... Yeah. I totally just had a squirrel moment. And hey, like look, that. Squirrel. You know, you ever get those?
So every day.
Yeah, all the time.
Every minute, every hour of the day.
So you've mentioned a couple times how important it is to have a strong why behind what you're doing. And how you're still figuring that out. And when I started my thing a few years ago, I remember not knowing what it was, and I didn't even know why I was doing it. I just knew I needed to start this thing called Motor, and I wanted to help people in their life and in their business. And I had an idea, but I didn't have any clue what it would look like. And for the first couple years, it was tough. It was really tough. And then a moment came where I got super clear through a conversation I had with somebody else, and my why clicked. And the minute my why clicked, it's like my business went on turbo. And money started rolling in, and clients and all this other stuff. It was amazing. And what I've come to realize, I'm like, you know what? When I was not confident in my why, that lack of confidence was oozing out of me and nobody wanted anything to do with me. And once I nailed down why I'm existing, why I'm doing this, why I'm in the game, it brought such a confidence to what I was doing that, you know, people want to be around people that know where they're going and that are confident and have a plan.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes it takes years to really nail down your why. But once you do, you know, you're glad you went through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't just figure it out. So let's talk marketing, because that's also what you do here. You don't you got McBreen Media is what you're calling it now, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
McBreenMedia.com. Mm-hmm. And so many businesses have awful marketing. I see it all the time. I see just bad stuff. What would you say some essentials are to building a strong brand?
Well, the way I'd like to frame this is when people approach me, and I work with, you know, individuals, I work with small two-person shops, but I also work with, you know, medium to sometimes larger companies and organizations, and invariably they'll approach me, and it's usually something along the lines of this: we need a new website. Mm-hmm. And they show me websites that they like, they show me websites that they don't like, and that's pretty much it. Okay, well, why do you need a website? Who are you targeting? Do you have a positioning statement? Basically, how do you want to be positioned or perceived in the marketplace? Usually, 9 times out of 10, they don't have any of this, and they look at me like, I didn't want you to ask me those questions.
Right.
We just wanted a new website, man. Come on. What are you doing? And then you think about other things today, which are essential, content marketing and a certain amount of social media. That isn't something every business needs, but certain businesses can obviously benefit tremendously from it. Email marketing, and we could go on. So it's these essential steps. And the way I first approach it is, I like to, my background is in design, but I like to approach it from a copy, first methodology, because, because I think that is what you need to define first. You need to talk about your company, your core strengths, and wrap it in language that's built for the target audience that you want to reach. And once you have that, only when you have that is when you can actually start building, you know, a website. You can create collateral materials, do online marketing, all of that stuff. And most of my work until this point has been with companies and organizations. I mean, that's the lion's share of the work I do now. And the reason I started The Art of Breaking Out and I wanted to merge with McBreen Media is, it's kind of a strange, you know, you said at the beginning, my bio is a strange combination of motivation, not exactly motivation, but it's kind of a kick in the pants thoughts with branding and story. And branding and story is today, it's online, it's building a blog, it's creating an audience, developing a rabid fan base. I mean, some people do this amazingly successfully. And part of the reason I want to do this is I want to help people do that. I mean, there might be some guy that, I don't know, he's in the middle of the United States, or some woman that they have an idea, they have maybe a software product, they have a service that they want to get out there. It's beyond what they do now, but they think they can't do it. So that's where motivation comes in. You need to, you know, tell these people, yes, you certainly can do it. And today, the amazing tools and technology and all the stuff you have at your disposal is just beyond belief. So learn about it and embrace your passion and get out there and try to do this. Don't sit back idly. I think that, you know, the reason I started this, and this is one of the key reasons I did, is because I think about people around our age and people I talk to, and I see a lot of people and the reactions they have towards some of the things I say. And I honestly think that a lot of people have this like pile of stuff, and the pile is like all these shoulda, woulda, couldas, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I should have done this, I should have done that. And then they think, oh, you know what, I'm at a certain age, it well, it's kind of over. You know, I don't have time. I can't do that. It's too much of a risk. Blah, blah, blah. No, it isn't. You know, it's like, what the heck? Life isn't worth living if you can't enjoy it and you can't get some kind of contentment out of it. And if you're living a life of quiet, you know, you have all these regrets, you know, it's just not worth it. So,
well, you know, my dad passed away a couple years ago in February, and him and I had a really, really cool talk. It didn't last very long, but we were able to talk a couple of days before he passed away, and he was still with it. And he said to me, he says, "Tom, so many people think they have it good, but they don't realize how much further they can go." And that was where he was sitting, knowing that, you know, he had super limited time left, looking back and reflecting. And I really got the sense that he was just saying, you know, hey, leave it all on the field. You know, don't play small here. Inspire risk and go get it. And if you fall flat on your face, that's fine. I had the pleasure of being part of an event a while back with one of the owners, one of the founders of Ticketmaster. And I was at dinner one night with this guy. His name's Jerry Nelson. And he found water in the desert and developed a large part of Scottsdale, Arizona. He founded over 44 companies. He's about 85, 86 years old now. And and I asked him, I said, Jerry, how many of the 44 failed? And before the question got out of my mouth, he goes, 8. I mean, it was like right there. He's like, 8. And I asked him to share some stories about, you know, what was your worst failure? And he went on to tell me this stuff. And what was so cool about it was he just knew that, hey, you know, you try it and sometimes it doesn't work out. It doesn't define you. Just get up, move on, try something else, and have a good time and enjoy the relationships that you're building. And when you find something that's worth pursuing, then, you know, get out of your own way, bring in good people and make it happen, you know? And, and so it was just encouraging, you know, when I'm thinking about, you know, all these people that are trying to build businesses, what I like about how you're combining motivation with when you shared that about doing this is you're motivating and inspiring these small business owners to do the hard work of figuring out who their ideal client is and why they really want to do this. And you're having them do that work that most of them just want to blow off because it's heavy lifting.
It is indeed. Yeah. Tremendous amount of time and effort goes into this stuff. And a lot of people don't realize it until they get fully immersed in it. And then they're like, wow, this is a lot of work. Yeah. You know, and what you mentioned about your dad, the other thing I wanted, while you were talking, I was thinking, it's interesting because my father passed away 3 years ago in February, and it'll be 3 years. And my wife and I had this conversation more than a few times. My dad was an amazing guy. He was a great guy. He was extremely taciturn. He just kind of kept to himself. He was very shy. And I often told her, I said, I don't know if he lived a life of quiet desperation or he lived a life of complete contentment because he was that kind of person. He didn't share much. He didn't tell people things. And, you know, I loved him and love him. And I just, you know, think what a great guy he was, but then, man, if he would have just broken out a little bit, he could have done more and maybe, you know, been a little bit more content. Cause sometimes I think he wasn't, to be 100% honest, that's another thing, another part of my life that made me want to change. You know, it's no coincidence that I started, you know, blogging roughly 3 years ago.
Right.
And really got fully into it, a writing process and everything else. So, but anyway, I don't want to dive too much into that, which you said about your father and going out and getting it, you know.
Yeah.
Today it's like you leverage the amazing power at your disposal. The online world has so much to offer and these amazing tools and technologies. It's so much easier to do it now than it ever was.
Yeah, I mean, the number of people that we can reach, you know, for virtually no money is crazy. And that kind of leads into where I wanted to ask you about next is content marketing. You've been blogging. I blog. I'm starting to do some more video. We're both doing a podcast. I work with a lot of my business coaching clients, and I'm telling them, guys, the low-hanging fruit in your marketing is creating great content. One of my old businesses years ago, I started blogging, and we did had an amazing result of it. You know, we were getting hired all the time. My coaching business, I've consistently blogged for a couple years now. About 75-80% of all of my revenue comes from people who saw a blog post of mine at one point. And they kind of get into my head, and after 9 months, 12 months, whatever it is, I'll usually get an email and go, hey, I've been reading your stuff for a while. I kind of like the way you think, and I want to pick your brain. And that opens the door. So, and I know you get that, and I get that. How do you help? What advice could you give to a busy entrepreneur who's understands he's got to make this content stuff happen for his business, but he's out, you know, he's building a deck all day, or he's designing a website, or he's caring for his chiropractic patients. It's truly a, they're that solopreneur, and they're wearing all the hats. What can you tell that person about creating content?
That you have to be all in. I mean, all the motivation in the world is not going to work if you really don't want to do it. And I also would tell them to passion is all well and good, but this is about way more than passion, because I don't care how passionate you are about anything, it's going to be a slog. It's going to be very, very difficult. And if anybody tells you otherwise, they're full of it. So my whole thing is honesty and kind of fleshing that out. Do you have a real idea? And if you don't, are you willing to develop a real idea? And if you have one, are you willing to put in the time and effort to get it done? And what I've done over the past few years is, I have a business to run, and on a daily basis, it's mm-hmm. and all the people, like you that I talk to, it's like they have all these other things that they have to do, but podcasting and blogging and everything that goes along with content marketing takes a lot of time. But also, I would also tell them that there's so much joy that comes from it, because when I started writing, I found a voice. And honestly, I found the practice of writing, it could be something entirely different for another person. I found the process of writing almost like meditative. You know what I mean?
I totally do. Yep.
Yeah, it's just like it's a learning process. You grow. I think it gives you energy, and it brings on so many new ideas. And one of the best things I ever did in my life was starting to write every day, every morning, first thing in the morning. That is what I do, and. I honestly think that's the best, yeah. One of the best habits I've ever developed. In fact, over the past 2 weeks, I haven't done it because I've been doing so many other things, and I really, really miss it, and I can't wait to get back to it. So my goal is to get back to it very, very quickly, and wrap some of these things up, which I am.
I totally agree with that writing every day thing. In the past, I've tended to be a guy that will write whenever lightning strikes. Mm-hmm. And it would actually strike a few times a week, and it was, I'd just be inspired, and I would just make it happen, and I'd sit down and I'd write a blog post, an ebook, whatever the heck I was doing. And I recently did what you were saying to do, is just go, first thing in the morning, use my best mental energy to the most important task. That's really what I wanted to do. So I've been actually pretty good the last several weeks about getting up. I get up about 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, I'm in my office, cup of coffee, and I write for at least the first hour straight. I don't pick up my phone, I don't open my email. And the other thing I've been doing is the night before in my office on the whiteboard, I write down what I want to write about tomorrow.
Great idea,
And I find it just kind of floats around in my head through the night, mm-hmm. and it seems to just go a lot easier in... It's like any other habit, working out or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. And I, especially what you said about getting this stuff out the night before, because as a an introverted person, naturally, I get distracted by things and people during the day. And if I don't have like some kind of plan in place the night before, I am lost the next day, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I can easily fly off the rails. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, none of us are in total control. You know, we're only human. And we have our faults and we have our weaknesses, and getting through the day, getting through fear, I mean, it's just getting through those. And I think structure, creating structure, like you articulated there, is an amazing way to do it. Getting to the habit of actually structuring your day in a certain way.
Yeah, and I, you know, for me, it was just a matter of just looking at the activities that I do in my business, and I go, okay, what is it that only I can do? And when I do it, I have kick butt results, you know, yeah. I mean, it was really that simple. And I said, when I create some sort of content on a daily basis, it never fails to pay off at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I blogged for a full year, years ago. I owned a painting business and made a lot of money through our blog, you know, getting leads and sales through it. But it took mm-hmm. me a year of blogging before I ever got a lead.
Yeah.
And but then there was like that tipping point where then they just started coming in consistently, and it was, you know, tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars worth of work. And mm-hmm. And so I look at that and I go, how can I not invest in that on a daily basis? I mean, it's just crazy not to. So in your ebook, The Art of Breaking Out, You talked about how 2011 you had this urge to create. Was this right around the time that you lost your dad, or was this something that had been floating around in your mind, you know, for a few years before, and you finally were like, okay, I'm ready?
Well, you know what? I started, the only reason I started blogging was I was a member of a Toastmasters group. And honestly, that's one of the best things I ever did too, was join Toastmasters, because when I first started doing it, it was like the most terrifying thing I could ever imagine. And I felt like, convince myself to get my butt in there and do it, speaking in front of people. But anyway, when I started blogging, the only reason I really started initially was because I wanted to become a better speaker. I'm like, well, I'm giving these speeches to this group of people. Why don't I make the speeches more creative? Why don't I get back into something that I really used to kind of like, writing? And I thought writing would be a good way to do that. So I sat down and formed up, you know, a few blog posts, and then I started researching, and then I got into it deeper and deeper and deeper. And I decided that I wanted to start a blog, and that was, you know, when my father started getting sick.
Okay.
And, you know, as we went through the process, you know, that is yet another thing that probably kept me doing what I was doing, because I found some kind of release in it. I found, you know, in a terrible, you know, many, many months when he was suffering from a tumor, it's like, man, you know, you need some kind of release from all this. And for some people, it might be quiet contemplation. For me, it was sitting down and writing, banging on the keyboard. It was tremendous. And, but anyway, that's where the meditative part comes in. And that was part of the urge to create. And when I started writing, I found out, you said your one thing, that's my one thing. That's mm-hmm. what I enjoy more than anything else. And I honestly wish I would have started earlier in my life, because I haven't found anything quite like writing to make me feel good on so many levels.
That's crazy, because I feel like, yeah, I wish I would have started a long time ago. I feel really alive when I do it. And then at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, I have a really, really long way to go.
I feel the same way.
It's just crazy. But yeah. But I find, you know, like the more you eat healthy, the more you want to eat healthy.
Uh-huh.
And the more I write, the more I want to write.
Right.
And just feeds that. So I talk a lot about, you know, you talk a lot about doing the things that are uncomfortable. I talk a lot about going toe-to-toe with things that you're really afraid of. I'll use the analogy of walking into the punch. If you and I are standing 3 feet from each other and you rear back to punch me in the face, and I see that you're going to punch me in the face, if I close the gap between us and move closer to you, your punch will never reach full strength.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of how I view the things I'm afraid of. That when I see something that I'm afraid of, I want to run toward it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not always instinctively or intuitively, but just, you know,
yeah,
I'm learning to train myself. And through the years, I have several things that I go on, but I won't right now, where I closed that distance or I walked into the punch. Can you think of a time that you did something similar and how's that worked out?
Well, it's interesting because I mentioned Toastmasters. It's funny, for some people it might not be a big deal, but for me it was one of the biggest things I've ever done in my life. When I was about 41, I joined that group because I was I went to a company I was working for, and we had this big luncheon, and it was like this big round table. And I don't know, there were probably about 50 or 60 people there. And at the time, I was doing branding, marketing for this company. And I had no clue that they were going to ask me to get up and speak. They asked more than a few people in the room to do the same, but everybody was taking about 5 to 8 minutes to give kind of an elevator pitch. This is what I do for the company. This is why I work with the company, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Talk about being put on the spot. And this is, I was someone at that point in my life that was absolutely petrified of speaking in front of people. I mean,
what's
I was
the
number
one fear people have?
Oh my, it was just, you know? Oh my God, I mean, it was unbelievable. They asked me, I can't remember what I said, but I sound like, I mean, it was horrible. I mean, it was bad. And that night, I just was so miserable because I thought it was the biggest failure in the world. I'm like, they're never going to work with me again. What do those people think? They think I'm a complete idiot, incompetent, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they thought. At this point in my life, my attitude would be, I don't really care what they think. But back then, I obsessed over it. And when that's when I was toying with joining this group called Toastmasters, I finally decided to do it. And that's what that moment is when I decided to do it. I didn't look back. Yeah.
Yeah. When you did it, and you started, speaking and learning about speaking this and that, did you find that it was as big and scary as you thought it was?
At first it was, but you know what? Even after my very first speech, my leg was shaking uncontrollably, but they couldn't see it because it was up on the lectern, right?
Uh-huh.
And I could not stop my right leg from shaking. It shook for about 5 minutes into the speech, which is about, you know, 8 minutes long. But there was a certain point, even though my leg was shaking, I was like, this ain't so bad. You know, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, I'm not dead.
Yeah, I'm not dead, right?
Yep,
they're not throwing, and they're not shooting arrows at me. And I think somebody compared, you know, with that fear is so primal because, you know, you see these people in the audience as like these hungry lions waiting to devour you because it's part of our lizard-like programming, right? The lizard brain coming back into focus. And part of the whole thing is learning how to get past it. You know, it's always going to be there. But you need to learn how to deal with it on an ongoing basis. And I think public speaking, one of the best possible ways to do it, especially if you're an introverted person and you have a slight desire to do that, do it, because it's an amazing freeing experience. I mean, freeing, it really is.
Absolutely. That's awesome stuff, man. So, as we start to wrap up, I guess I have just a couple more quick questions. What would you tell somebody who is hearing this voice inside, like urging them to do something, to make a change, but they're, you know, where you and I were, you know, we're around that 40-year mark, and, you know, making a change might not be as easy as it was 20 years ago. There's a lot more implications, a lot more things to be affected by it.
Yeah.
What do you tell that person?
I would just like to have a one-to-one conversation with them and talk about the things we talked about earlier, fleshing out what do you really want to do and what you said earlier. What is your why? Can you define it? You know, if someone sits down and they can't define it, they need to go back to the drawing board. And I think instituting some it might even be something like instituting some basic practices into your day so you can maybe think through this idea. Creating structure the night before. Okay, if I have this idea, I need to dedicate an hour every morning without fail to planning how I'm actually going to see this thing through. It could be as little as an hour an evening, an hour, a morning, it could be more, but decide that you're going to dedicate that time to it so you can actually start planning this out. And then once you start doing that, you find it's not so hard and you can actually get to a point. And the other thing is to set goals, but please don't set goals that are too big. I mean, you're just setting yourself up for failure if you do that. I've done it in the past and it's never worked out. I think baby steps, the key to success is incremental change in baby steps. Take it one step at a time and just take it slow and steady, because that's how you actually make things happen. The myth of the overnight sensation drives me up a wall, makes me insane, because there are certain people that are perceived as being incredibly successful. Well, you know, Chris Brogan, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Chris Brogan is infamous for, you know, I think what did he start with? It took him, I can't remember what his quote was. It took him 5 years to build up an email list of 100 people or something like that.
Right.
And here's somebody that everybody sees, oh, he's insanely successful. You know, he's prolific, all that stuff. Well, yeah, he is, but he put in a buttload of work to actually, you know, get all this done. Many, many long hours and many failures and many changes. And if you see anybody within, you know, the online kingdom, the blogosphere that is at his level, they've all done the same. None of them have, you know, and even the people that say they're living the laptop lifestyle with their toes in the sand and all that, well, they're not really.
They're still working their tails off, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Ferriss is the hardest working guy online, right? He works probably 80 hours a week, I would imagine. He's always on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you know, when I think about, you know, how you answered that with somebody who just knows deep down they need to make a change, the bottom line is don't ignore what's going on inside of you. You know, experiment with it. Throw something against the wall. See what happens. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself that you got to flip this huge switch overnight. You know, consistency is way more than the quantity each day.
And be yourself, man. I mean, when you get online, don't try to be somebody else. You know, find out through experimentation and writing, as you've done, well, you know, this is my voice. It takes a while to develop that. I mean, I read, you know, so many bloggers when I first started doing this, so many writers, and, you know, I was trying to emulate people in the very beginning. I think everybody does that.
So, I got to tell you, this is hilarious. So you've read Seth Godin's blog, right?
Sure.
You know, he'll have a blog post. It's like two sentences or something, you know, and it's incredible. And it, you know, gets shared like 50 million times around the world and all this other stuff. When I first started blogs, I go back on my website and I look at my first blogs and I'm like, what? Well, yeah, that's kind of how I think I want to write. So my first blog posts were like, they're just awful. And in my mind, I'm thinking I'm being all clever and stuff, you know, and I'm like, you know, really the only one at my own party there. So it was, but it was part of the trip. It was part of the road that I was on. But I just kept at it, and I kept at it, and I began to find my voice. And you talk about being yourself. I find I'm incredibly popular when I talk about all the things I screw up.
Yeah.
And I'm just, hey, here it is. You know, I have a post where I talked about how firing blanks was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and that's how I built my family through adoption. It was a, you know, because I think people are so tired of just the masks that everyone has on, and we're always trying to beat our chests and, you know, look how many people follow me or this or that or the other thing, and it's just wears thin after a while. But so, Craig, where are you going from here, man? I know you got big plans for your marketing business and your blog and kind of merging them together. You know, I guess before we cut out today, just give us a little heads up of where you're headed. What's next for you?
Well, number one is, I mentioned McBrain Media. That is going to be my new company. That's the marketing and branding company that is my baby. And I'm kind of reinventing everything. I used to focus on, you know, when it comes to branding, it was mainly visual branding and design. But, well, I've gotten way beyond that. Now it's, you know, it's about content marketing and it's about overall branding and everything else that you and I have discussed. The other part is The Art of Breaking Out. Now, I have a podcast, The Art of Breaking Out podcast. I want to grow that podcast. I want to grow the blog, Art of Breaking Out. I want to create workshops, webinars, and everything built on teaching others how to combine those two crazy things we talked about, you know, getting past fear and branding. Or to me, it's more like story. And story to me is telling it online. How am I going to help somebody do that online? So that is what I'm shooting for now. And it's like, okay, you talked about the tipping point. That's where I think I am right now.
Well, that's good stuff. That's it's exciting. I look forward to seeing how it takes off for you, because I know it will, because you got this thing figured out. You're dealing with the fear. You got a strong why. You know, you're working your tail off, and we know that's a pretty good combination for success. So, Craig, thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you.
To hang out with us today, share a bit about your story. If somebody wants to connect with you after listening to this podcast, what's the best way to do that?
The best thing is just to go to artofbreakingout.com or McBreen Media, McBreenMedia.com. I had a, like something stuck in my throat there. Sorry about that. It's like, you hear me choking earlier, man. It's like, I need another drink of water here.
It's all good. So we'll put that in the show notes, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us today on the Strongpreneur Podcast. Take what you heard today. If one little thing resonated with you, don't ignore it. Apply it. Wage your own war on mediocrity so you can live a strong life and strong business. We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.